Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I don't know if y'all are awake or not, but maybe I can wake you up instead of put you to sleep. Can I get an amen from the congregation? All right. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. It's a rhetorical question because I already know the answer. So it doesn't require you to answer me. Have you ever had a bad day? Yeah, we've all had bad days. I think I'd like to think I've had more than my fair share of bad days, but chances are we've all had bad days. And while we might think that ours are worse than everybody else's, yeah, well, you know, sometimes it's just bad being us, isn't it? Let me share with you an illustration real quick. Fella that had a bad day. Now, this was filled out on a request form for insurance at a company, and it was probably written back in the 40s or 50s. Fellow was a construction worker. When I got to the building, I found the windstorm had knocked some bricks off the top. I rigged up a beam with a pulley at the top of the building and hoisted up a couple of barrels of bricks. When I fixed the damaged area, there were a lot of bricks left over. I went to the bottom, began releasing the line. Unfortunately, the barrel of bricks was heavier than I was. Before I knew what was happening, the barrel started coming down, jerking me up. I decided to hang on since I was too far off the ground by then to jump, and halfway up, I met the barrel of the bricks coming down fast. I received a hard blow on my shoulder. I then continued to the top, banging my head against the beam and getting my fingers pinched and jammed in the pulley. When the barrel hit the ground hard, it burst its bottom, allowing the bricks to spill out. I was now heavier than the barrel, so I started down again at high speed. Halfway down, I met the broken barrel coming up fast and received severe injuries to my shins. When I hit the ground, I landed on the pile of spilled bricks, getting several painful cuts and deep bruises. At this point, I must have lost my presence of mind because I let go of my grip on the line. The barrel came down fast, giving me another blow on my head and putting me in the hospital. I respectably request sick leave. Now, I've had some bad days in my life, but I don't think I've ever had a bad day quite that bad before that I ended up getting put in a hospital. Our lesson is going to come from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Because we always have bad days every once in a while, the Bible gives us snapshots, usually of just more or less ordinary people. Now, there are some prophets, and of course, there's the Son of God, and you know, there's some apostles and such, but mostly it's just ordinary people like you and me. The Holy Spirit inspired men to write the book, and sometimes He doesn't pick out the best stories about people to illustrate their lives. I'm sure you've had maybe pictures taken for your driver's license that reflect that it wasn't quite as good a day as you'd wanted it to be because you sure didn't take a very good picture. Now, here we've got in Luke chapter 10 one of those snapshots of Martha. Okay, Martha was having a bad day, and we're going to look at it. I'm not going to read this text. It's not very long. It's only five verses. But we're going to look at almost every bit of the passages of it, and we're going to see what happened. It's going to be about Martha, who had that bad day. And I want to ask you, because we've got some real good things about Martha recorded in the Bible. You know, in Luke chapter 10, we're going to look at this. And this is the Martha who was the sister of Lazarus and of Mary. But we've also got some other snapshots. In John chapter 11, when her brother died, she went up to Jesus and said, "Yes, Lord, I believe You're the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world." Now, this is a wonderful statement that she made, and it's just as great a statement as Peter made in Luke chapter or Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. You know, we also know about her fellowshipping with Jesus, with her brother and sister in John chapter 12. But we've got this story that illustrates Martha maybe at her worst. Okay? It was a day that started out okay, and then it went downhill, but then it came back up. So first we're going to look at how her bad day started. Like I said, it started out okay. Now it happened, it says, as they went. Okay, who was they? Well, that would have been Jesus. He had his apostles with him. They were traveling along. Jesus had been up in Galilee, traveling around, preaching and teaching. He was on his way back to Jerusalem. It says here that he entered a certain village. We even know the name of that village. We know that Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived in Bethany. It wasn't a very big place. It was only about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. And Jesus, because he was good friends of these three, I say young people, I don't know how young they were, he often stopped at the village and visited with these people. A woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Now she was probably the oldest. I don't know that, but the fact that she's mentioned as it being her house probably means that she was the oldest. The apostles were traveling with Jesus. Chances are the whole bunch of them were invited into Martha's house along with Mary and along with Lazarus. That would have been a total of 16 people. Jesus and 12 plus 3 more comes up with 16 people. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to cook for 16 people all by yourself like Martha did. But, you know, it can be real hard to do that much cooking. You know, especially if you don't have help. You know, the story starts off with Jesus going into the house. And it's important for us to understand that Jesus taught foxes have dens and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, the apostles said something about them giving up their home life and their families. And Jesus came back with, whatever you give up on this earth, I'm going to restore to you hundredfold in this life and in the coming life. But Jesus did have a couple of places that he could stretch his legs and be with friends. One of them was at Martha's house. The other one would have been at Peter's mother-in-law's house. We go back to our text. She had a sister called Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, by sitting at Jesus' feet, that tells us a couple things about Mary. Number one, she was actually paying attention to what Jesus had to say. You know, that's the way they used to do it. Y'all are, I guess, sitting at my feet now. It's not quite as intimate as it would have been in a house, but it also implies that Mary was Jesus' disciple. You remember in Acts, Paul goes back and he recounts his young life. And he mentioned Gamaliel, that he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. Paul would have been a disciple of Gamaliel, who was a great Jewish teacher. Now, as we look at Mary just for a minute here, because this is a story about the two of them, it's interesting that we notice that Mary, when we see her in the Bible, is often at Jesus' feet. You know, here in this story, she's sitting listening to him talk. You know, when Jesus came after Lazarus had passed away, she sat weeping at his feet. And then in John chapter 12, when Jesus was back by there, she fell at his feet and she wiped off his feet. She covered them with an expensive ointment that she had bought. You know, it's important for us to understand that we, as disciples of Jesus, ought to be at his feet. We need to pay attention to what he teaches and those that followed him in the New Testament, what they taught also. So here we've got Mary. She thought it was important and she was sitting at Jesus' feet. But let's go back to the scene, okay? If you happen to be there on that day, here you walk into the house with Jesus. Jesus is standing there teaching words that maybe he had said before, but maybe words he'd never said before. Would be wonderful to hear his words firsthand, don't you think? And you know, you hear the rattling of dishes in the other room, if there were two rooms, and the smell of cooking. You know, it would have been a wonderful place to be. You've got the spiritual and you've got the physical. You know, things that make all of us very comfortable. We need to remember that if our attitude is right, we won't have really any bad days. The psalmist, this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we can be like Martha. We can open up maybe not our homes, but our hearts to Jesus and ask Him to come in. You remember He said in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come into him and dine with him and he with me." Any day can be great, even today, if Jesus is with us. But next, we've got a day that kind of started to turn sour. We've got the words, "Martha was cumbered about with much serving." Now, I don't use the word cumbered, but the New King James says she was distracted by much serving. She had her minds on one thing, and that one thing was important to her. You know, as I mentioned, the houses back in might have had two rooms, but probably only had one room. So think about it for a second. Here's Jesus teaching in a corner of the room, and there's 15 people sitting around him, or 14. And over in another part of the room, or if there was another room, here's Martha, and she's bustling about. I don't have to tell you, if you've done any cooking, there's a lot of work in cooking. You know, you got to make sure everything's cooked just right. You got everything put on a plate. You got to set the table. You got to do this kind of food and that kind of food. There's a lot of work to it. You know, they could have been distracted by Martha, but instead Martha was distracted. In other words, her mind wandered. I don't have to tell y'all about this. You're sitting there in that pew, and maybe your mind is starting to wander. Maybe you're wondering, reckon how much longer he's going to be? Reckon where we're going to go eat, or what we're going to eat when we get home? Or maybe if you're cooking, reckon he's going to get done in time so that my roast doesn't burn. You should have used a crock pot. Okay? There are a lot of things that distract us, even though God's Word is being taught, and I'm not condemning you, because I've sat right where you are, and I've thought almost all of those things also. But here we've got Martha, and she'd been cooking. She was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now, that little word "had" is the one that ought to leap off the page to us. Do you think that Jesus walked into that house and said, "Martha, I want you to cook us a feast"? He wouldn't have done that at all. But Martha maybe had this idea in her mind. This is Jesus. You know, we know that He's somebody special. He's even the Son of God. And I feel like we, her and Martha, or her and Mary, wanted to fix Him a great meal. There was a whole bunch of people there. Now, I don't imagine Jesus would have cared if she'd have just put, it wouldn't have been ham, but let's just say peanut butter and jelly sandwiches together. Okay, I don't imagine Jesus wanted much, but Martha had a lot of work that she had to do. You know, we need to understand that. You know, Jesus probably didn't expect a great meal, but sometimes we think we have to do things, and that puts a great deal of pressure on us, and it messes up an otherwise good day. Since she thought it had to be done, she went to Jesus. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." Now, it says here in this text, said, she's left me to serve alone. Maybe Martha and Mary were planning on doing this together. Jesus showed up, and Mary changed her mind and decided to listen to what Jesus had to say. And so she'd stopped in the middle of preparation, and she'd gone over to the other part of the house where Jesus was teaching, and she'd sat down. Okay? But Martha was doing it all by herself. Now, I don't know if you've ever done everything all by yourself or not. Think about Thanksgiving or Christmas, or maybe Independence Day, when you and your family gets together and you got a bunch of people coming into the house. You know, and they're all out in the living room or in the den, and they're taking their coats off and they're visiting and they're hugging one another, just so happy. And you're stuck there in the kitchen trying to get everything lined out. You think to yourself, why in the world doesn't anyone come in here to the kitchen and help me? Don't they know how much work I have to do? And Martha's patience had run out. So she went out to Jesus, and she went out And she said, "Lord, don't you care my sister's left me to serve alone?" And then she went on and said, "Tell her to help me." Martha wasn't just rebuking Mary for not helping. She was getting on to Jesus. Now, I don't know what had happened to make Martha's day that started out good go bad. You know, maybe the lamb had burned. Maybe her cake had fallen. Maybe the biscuits didn't turn out right. I don't know anything about any of that. Maybe she had a splitting headache aside all the problems that she had with the cooking. But I do know one thing. And I think y'all know this too. Regardless of what bad that had happened to Martha in preparing that meal and her sister not helping, she made things worse by complaining about it. And we can all do the same thing. You know, we even have a phrase for it. You ever heard this little old statement? Well, if you hadn't heard it, I can't remember it. Misery loves what? Misery loves company. Well, if you're not going to help me, then I'm going to make you miserable. And it seems as though that's what Martha had decided to do. You know, it started out so well. Jesus was teaching his Father's word. Martha was cooking. The smell was wafting through the house. Everything was going along pretty well. Mary, maybe she should have helped a little bit, but she didn't. And all of a sudden, Martha, she'd felt put upon enough. She came out and she started whining and complaining about it. You know, sometimes it's when we open our mouths to complain that a good day goes bad. The day did get worse a little bit, but then it started to get a little bit better. Martha rebuked Jesus. But then Jesus said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Now, we know from what the Bible says that Jesus loved Martha. So I can't imagine when he said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled," it was in a rude or a harsh way. I think it was in a loving way, like you might talk to a brother or a sister that you love, not that you didn't love, okay? That he was just kindly giving her a handful of what she'd given him. "You're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing's needed, and Mary has chosen that good part." Now think about that. That one thing that was needed that Mary had chosen, but Martha hadn't, was the spiritual. Okay? Mary wanted to hear Jesus talk about God. She wanted to hear about the everlasting, about heaven, and about all the wonderful things that Jesus is teaching. That was the one thing that Jesus said was needed. The meal wasn't all that important. Yes, it was nice to cook a fancy dinner for Jesus and his apostles, but it was more important for Jesus' words to be heard. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to put the emphasis on the wrong things. Sometimes we have a tendency to mess up our priorities. Sometimes we think that the things that are temporary here on earth are more important than the eternal things that will help us to get to heaven. Going back to our story, this was a day that started out good, but then got worse, but then I think started to get a little bit better. You know, Jesus told her, he said, "Look, I appreciate what you're doing, but don't miss out on me while I'm here. You need to listen to my words too." And I think things started to get better when Martha started thinking about Jesus' words. Maybe she, as she continued to prepare the meal, started thinking, "Well, you know, I guess Jesus has got a point. He's not going to be with us all that long. And he is a very special person. He is the Son of God. Maybe I ought to." And maybe it started to change her attitude. And I think the rest of the day went better because Martha's attitude changed. The next time we see Martha serving is in John chapter 12. You know, and once again, there are a whole bunch of people to serve. And once again, Martha's the only one doing any serving. But this time she doesn't get angry because Mary is not helping. This is the time that Mary knelt down and anointed Jesus' feet. And if you think about it, it says that that was a very expensive ointment. Maybe she took some of the family's money. to buy that ointment to put on Jesus' feet. Martha had every right to get mad the second time, but she didn't, because I think she thought about it and she learned from that bad day. Let's jump on over to John chapter 11 and see Martha on a good day. After Lazarus died, Jesus went to Bethany. Martha said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Now that's a beautiful expression of faith. In verse 27, "Yes, Lord, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, who's come into the world." Now think about that statement right there, and then think about John chapter 20. John 20, verses 30 and 31 is the purpose statement behind John's gospel. And John wrote, "Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." So if we put these two things together, we can think that, you know, John wrote his gospel so that we would have the sort of faith that Martha ended up having in her life. She turns out to be a beautiful illustration of faith. You know, we need to remember that bad days can be good when we learn from how we dealt with that bad day to begin with. We can look back on those bad days and we can thank God that He helped us to learn from them. Finally, when we have bad days, what sort of things do we need to remember? What sort of lessons do we need to learn? We need to remember that everybody has a bad day every once in a while. Elijah is a good example in the Old Testament of a man who, he even said it, "I stood up all by myself for you, Lord." He was chased hither and yon by Ahab and Jezebel, and Jezebel would have made him a little greasy spot if she could have caught up with him. But he kept on running. And he kept on being God's man in Israel. In the New Testament, we've got the story of John. And in Luke chapter 7, John has been locked up. And he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" That's an interesting question, especially when looked at in light of what John had said when he first met Jesus, when Jesus came to him for baptism. And John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Why did his attitude change? Well, he was locked up in a dark, dank prison, and he was awful lonely, and he was unhappy. And that's why he had a bad day. Next, we need to remember not to blame other people. In our country, we want to blame everybody but ourselves. It's all about accountability. Well, I don't have any accountability. It's Tracy's fault. And sometimes she blames me. And I blame the children. The children blame me. And I blame my environment and the way that I was raised and my parents. You know, we don't want to take any accountability on ourselves. But you know what? 95% of the things that happen to us are our fault. And we just need to put on our big boy shoes. And we need to admit it. Next, realize that there are consequences when we react to what happened. Martha snapped at Jesus. As a result, she was rebuked by Jesus. When we react negatively to bad things, well, bad things are going to keep on happening. Next, be comforted by the fact that a bad day isn't the end all and be all of your life. You can be like Martha. You can learn that, hey, what happened on that day is not going to influence me for the rest of my life. And it can be the same way for you and me. Finally, decide to learn what's really important from bad days. When you have a bad day, ask yourself, what's causing me to have this bad day? What's causing me to make everybody around me miserable? And once you've got it figured out, then decide to be positive about it and take steps to improve your attitude and your day. In closing, everybody has bad days from now and time to time, but today can be the best day of your life. If you'll learn from Martha to put spiritual things first, one thing to remember is your commitment to Jesus Christ and to God ought to be the most important thing in your life. And whatever you do for God and for Christ will be stored up in heaven, and it'll never be taken away from you, and it'll never be forgotten. Now, I don't know what sort of a day you've had up to this point today, but it can be a great day if you will invite Jesus to teach you what's important and obey His commandments. And if you're subject to the invitation, if you need to come for whatever reason, won't you, as we stand and sing.